Is there any question that the technology revolution of the last 25 years has dramatically altered our world and our culture forever? The technology transformation has truly been extraordinary, with both positive and negative consequences. Now let's put this statement into context. The digital revolution I'm referencing is the result of three primary things: cell phones, the internet, and the World Wide Web. Put them together in one integrated resource and you have the smartphone. The digital smartphone is an incredibly powerful tool, but also with unbridled capacity to both enhance and compromise our livelihoods, even at the same time. Let's review a few of the pros and cons. Instant global communication between people via phone, text, and email. Access to unlimited information, news, literature, even scripture, healthcare diagnostics, educational instruction, weather, GPS, it's just endless. E-commerce, global marketing, look at Amazon, just-in-time operational efficiency, financial management, and then improving people's living standards, especially those in third world countries and rural areas. But smartphone use also brings an endless array of drawbacks and unintended consequences. This includes propagation of misinformation, pornography, fake news, and even ideological warfare. It delivers a loss of personal information and privacy, identity theft, financial fraud and abuse, unforeseen physical, mental, and emotional problems due to addictive use. And then finally, compromised relationships, stunted personal growth, and social dissonance, especially for Generation Z, teenagers and young adults. Consider that in the U.S. today, 309 million people, or 92% of the population, have smartphones. And teens are on the internet 8.5 hours per day, and half of that is on social media. I believe the gravest consequence of the smartphone is that they become idols and an endless source of temptation. Oxford says an idol is anything or anyone for which we have extreme admiration, love, and reverence. And temptation is a lure, a stimulation, an enticement that persuades us to do something for personal gratification and gain, irrespective of the consequences. While smartphones are an indisputable resource, they also produce an unlimited capacity for temptation and sin. Please open your Bibles or your smartphones to 1 Corinthians 10, 11 through 13. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Now let's look at the previous text that informs the scripture we're focusing on. These things are what happened to the Israelites during the Exodus. Where am I? Despite seeing the miraculous power of God while escaping slavery in Egypt, all those things, the pillar of the cloud, the pillar of fire, the parting of the Red Sea, the manna from heaven, still the Israelites weren't content. They made and worshipped a golden calf and engaged in sexual immorality with Moabite women. We should not test the Lord. God was not pleased with most of them. In one day, 23,000 died. They were killed by snakes, by a plague, and by a destroying angel. All because they set their hearts on evil things. They were idolaters, and because of their sexual immorality. Now let's go to the main text. These things happened to them as examples and were a warning to us, of whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. Now the fulfillment of the ages is Jesus, who satisfies God's promise of redemption. Clearly the Jews were overconfident as God's chosen people, even after witnessing his miraculous events during the Exodus. They conducted themselves as if they had a free pass, and their sinful behavior had no consequences. Paul is reminding the Corinthians and us as followers of Christ that we can do the same thing. But if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Faithful obedience requires constant intentionality. Don't be presumptuous and aloof about your behavior because you're saved. We all can put too much confidence in ourselves, in our work, and in our salvation. Consider King David. Tragic personal sin can afflict anyone. Despite the warning, Paul is offering us incalculable encouragement. No sin we experience is uncommon to man. And here is the punchline. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. This is good news, gentlemen. The Bible doesn't lie. So let's examine how we can stand firm, strengthen our walk, and turn temptation into victory. Temptations result from three main sources: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they all conspire to undermine our spiritual life. 1 John 2:16 tells us, "The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father," unquote. But they do come from the evil desires embedded in man's seven deadly sins. As a reminder, those are greed, envy, lust, gluttony, wrath, sloth, and the granddaddy of them all, pride. Pride tells us, "I am my own God, and I alone control my life." On a personal level, usually one or two dominant recurring temptations lead me and us into sin. Like gristle in a steak, we struggle to cut it out. James 1:14 tells us, "Each person is drawn away from God by his own desires and is enticed. Desire gives birth to sin, and when it is fully grown, brings forth death." Now, we may think death is a little strong, but consider this. There's always some kind of death with sin. Death to relationships, death to our influence, death to our intimacy with God, and death to our own peace and contentment. It's a good exercise to take inventory of our most frequent temptations and proclivity to sin. While more than one deadly sin causes problems for me, there is no question that sexual lust, and I hate to admit it, specifically pornography, have plagued me ever since I found my father's stash as a teenager. I'm not playing the blame game. My recurring struggles with pornography are of my own doing. And if I'm honest, the source of my greatest temptation, my greatest failings, and my greatest shame. Now, I know discussing sexual temptation and pornography are topics that make many men uncomfortable. Geez, am I really going there, right? Most never talk about it. And I'm totally embarrassed and humiliated to share my struggle and burden. But it's endemic to this culture, and as faithful men, we should talk about it. If you believe the stats Chris gave a few weeks ago, probably shouldn't say this, but at least half the men in this room are afflicted by pornography use. Whenever I've been transparent with other men about my struggle, you know what happens? Many admit it's their Trojan horse too. So let me share a few personal observations from my battle with temptation, sexual or otherwise, that may offer insight and encouragement. First, temptation is not sin, and it grows out of our fallen human condition. God gave us free will and the ability to choose because he wants sons and daughters, not robots. Integral to our right to choose is our propensity to choose poorly. Failure is the greatest opportunity to gain godly wisdom and grow. The authentic Christian life is never an arrival, but an endless pursuit. So follow Jesus with a joyful heart, even in your temptation and sin. Second, most of us try to overcome temptation under our own power. This is a recipe for failure. In the past, I've treated Christ in me and being a new creation not as my ultimate resource for change, but as a concept or a mental construct. This amorphous belief is foolish and self-defeating. As a more mature Christian, I now embrace these truths as an incredible blessing. Jesus is in me, despite all the evidence to the contrary. I just haven't perfected how to enter in to what I already have. Paul asserts, "May I work out my salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in me to will according to his good purpose." That's Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Third, we all suffer from double-mindedness and self-deception. It is dishonest to claim we want spiritual purity and then allow sinful, worldly passion to rule over us. As Pat Morley says in The Man in the Mirror, we create and try to live by the God we want instead of the God who is. I say I want to please God, but then embrace carnality and worldliness. Self-deception is like double-mindedness, deadly. Since getting married, I've never touched another woman in a romantic way, but I've rationalized pornography as just a guy thing, hoping God will grade me on the curve. At least I'm not like those adulterers. This is rank self-deception. On a positive note, there are silver linings from temptation and sin. While they are oppressive, they inform our need to change when we go off track. The hound of heaven never stops chasing us. They teach us humility and confirmed how flawed and unworthy we are in the flesh. In the Sermon on the Mount, the first beatitude, Jesus tells us, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We will never hear, "Blessed are the self-indulgent." In humility, we know we need to follow our Savior more closely. Temptation can also strengthen us when we secure victory by not succumbing to Satan's lies. Finally, when we resist temptation and sin, we affirm the genuineness of our faith. In closing, I'd like to share that I've had erratic success fighting sexual temptation and pornography. In these times, when I have success, everything is better. My relationships, my mental acuity, my peace and contentment, and most importantly, my trust and faith in Jesus. An elevated Christian life can only grow from elevated obedience and a habit of personal character. Despite knowing this, pornography has creeped back into my life. This time, from a supposed smartphone. It was much easier when you had to buy a magazine and hide it and all that stuff. Despite knowing this, I really thought years ago this burden would get lighter, but it's just as challenging today as ever. But let's be honest with one another. We're all walking around with a super porn shop in our pockets that we can access anytime, anywhere, almost anywhere. So men, we all need to stand firm in our faith and be more intentional about rejecting our temptations and sinful natures. God is faithful. He will provide a way out, but only under his power and with our sincere commitment to glorify him with our lives. Let me close with a prayer. Father, we thank you for this ministry and these men who come here to grow in knowledge of you and to strengthen their faith and improve their witness of your truth. So we ask that you'd guide us this day and every day and help us to be the men that you'd have us be. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you.